Thank you, Mary. I'm delighted to be here and also to be presenting to my co-presenters. And Mary said it is a lot of fun, but it's, you know what's fun and rewarding is when you're passionate, you have a knowledge base, but you also have righteous indignation, and then you channel it, and that's what's that's the reward. First of all, buenas tardes here in San Diego to all attendees, to Public Health Without Borders. This presentation is Profile of Professional Nursing Education in Politics and Public Health Policy Development in the U.S. Capitol. It's important, as we're hearing in this American Public Health Association, important for nurses to be involved. It's vital. It's more than important. It's vital for nurses to be involved in public health policy development. Locally, in your towns, your communities, whether it's rural or city-fied, your cities, your regions, and national. This presentation is about professional nursing involvement in the at the national level. And there's a new, it's a saying that's getting more currency now, if not when. Well, when is now for professional nurses to be involved in policy development? Now, oh, I think we just do the little arrow. There are no financial relationships to disclose. My bank will attest to that. This is the U.S. Capitol. It comes out beautifully on the screen. This is the balcony of the U.S. Capitol, and in a few months, we'll see the inauguration right below it. This is the House side, which is the South side, and the Senate side. Here is the U.S. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's chambers. And the reason I'm pointing that out is, let's see, next slide, is that I got this quote. Well, first of all, when you have, this is about how I have brought students to Capitol Hill. These are RN to BSN students, but what I want to offer the attendings here in the Public Health Nursing section, American Public Health, is to offer a one-week intensive session for upper-level professional nursing students, whether RN to BSN, upper-level baccalaureate students, but also graduate students, as well as those who are practicing in the trenches in the country, to come to Washington, D.C. for a one-week intensive. And I'll profile in my presentation what this intensive is about, and it's what we've already had on Capitol Hill. This quote is priceless. It was said to myself and my students less than a year ago. And it was said by U.S. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow, who is Nancy Hart, who actually is an MD, but she's a self-described nursophile. And this is what she said: until professional nurses are at the policy table, healthcare will not change in this country. I can't stress that enough because it's absolutely true. And I'll tell you why. Another thing, when you have classes on the Hill, of course, you all learn, you only have a session with your senator or your legislator for 15 minutes, but if you have classes on the Hill, have them at 6 p.m. or 6:30, because all the policy and lobbyist interest groups are gone then, but Hill staffers don't go home. They don't go home till 9 or 10. So set up your sessions where you really want input at 6 p.m. or later, and that's what we do. Let's see. Next. Nancy Hart, the Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow in Speaker Pelosi's office, said to me, she said, Harriet, why don't you meet with all the health policy staff on Capitol Hill? Again, this was from a Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow. The reason she said this is because, she said, the medical model is the orientation of all but a few health policy staffers on Capitol Hill. You hear that? There are 438 representatives in the House. There are 50 senators, so that's almost 500 people. All but a few people have a medical model of what health care should be. That is why we don't have primary prevention and health promotion. Everything we're hearing at this conference of lack of money at local health departments, state or regional, comes because of this. If we had a change in paradigm, a change in value systems, you would have money to do your job. Other developed countries, our neighbors across the board, our northern neighbors certainly do, although I must admit we do our Financial Times. One thing, this was really music to the ears for the RN to BSN students. because they, for the most part, as RNs, work in acute care before they have their baccalaureate degree, and they're very frustrated because they see the revolving door of preventable chronic conditions because there isn't decent nursing or enough nursing care in the community that these preventable chronic conditions, mostly obesity-related, high blood pressure-related, diabetes-related, exist because there was not early intervention, health promotion, and primary prevention when these people were children, little infants. This is the balcony that I pointed out to you in the picture after 6 p.m. This is the balcony facing west. Dr. Wendell Primus is Nancy Pelosi's health policy staff. He's an economist, and he's blocking the Washington Monument. And behind that, we're looking at the mall. We're looking west. Behind that is the Lincoln Memorial and then the Potomac River. So this is at sunset. This was at 7:30 last spring, and it was a break we had from our 6 to 9 session with Dr. Primus. See, these things really happen. And you know, the thing is, it's easy to do, and I want to help you do that and fill this chair. I'm sure nurses don't see that policy is their responsibility, but it's also in reach, and that's why this session isn't filled, although I'm sure Tuesday night as people are beginning to wind down, maybe go home. Students had an opportunity to present proposals for nurse-run clinics in the inner city. This is input that the health policy staff asked for, and the students presented their proposals based on experience, case studies, and was data-driven. This nurse-run clinic proposal was presented to the mayor's office in Washington, D.C., as well as the health policy staff and Speaker Pelosi's office. This particular RN, associate degree nurse, is president of the DC Emergency Nurses Association. She's worked in an emergency room for 25 years, and she sees that the majority of people who come to the emergency room do not need emergency care, they need primary care. They come to the emergency room because they don't have primary care in their communities. It's pretty simple. Our nation's capital has in some areas, the worst health indices in the country, which is outrageous. And that's a righteous indignation, but we can't leave it there. We have to channel our passion. This is what happens in a class with health policy staffers. You see all these papers? These are papers that Dr. Primus and the health policy, other staffers and other legislators, they get from interest groups. They get from dentists, they get from medical doctors, they get from the pharmaceutical industry, they get from insurance companies. I asked Dr. Primus, does he hear from organized professional nursing? And he said no. So Dr. Primus is one of the people who has the orientation of a medical model, because for the most part, I find that health policy people don't really know what nursing is, they don't know what nursing does, but they respect nursing, and they are desperate for case studies from nurses because they know nurses are with the clients, individuals, families, and communities 24 hours a day. They are begging for case studies from nursing, and that means that we have a lot of power. We have a lot of power to influence healthcare, to influence healthcare policy, and I define power as a humane use for good. Power can be a good tool if used properly. Students have also, when we talk about public health without borders, they presented health teamwork they've done in Rwanda. And that's, again, how we can learn from other models of care. Obviously, we're not doing something right in this country. We can learn from health team approaches in even third world developing countries. The students also learn the process of input into health policy. Specifically, this is Representative Lois Capps, who actually represents a district not too far from here in San Luis Obispo. The quilt is a quilt that is chronicles the history, Mexican-American, Spanish-American history of her district, and this is in her office. One thing that it was wonderful with Nancy, Lois Capps is, and she really could say it to the students, and she reinforced that associate degree nurses, the whole intent of that program was to help technically professionally educated nurses so they could be involved in planning and policy development. And poor Mildred Montag, her last year of teaching was my first year of graduate school at Teachers College, Columbia University. I know she'd turn over in a grave, but it was reinforced that the public health nursing section town hall meeting yesterday that 65% of nurses in this country are associate educated. So until you get these broader experiences and not the technical education alone, is important, but alone, you will not have change in health policy. And there is the proposal in the next 10 years to have a primary entrance of baccalaureate educators. The structure of the course, and this is very, very helpful, is to write a one-page briefing paper, because if you want to introduce yourself and an issue, health policy staffers have no more time than to read one page. It has to be well written and it has to be concise. You identify the topic or problem. You identify why you're qualified, because I'm a nurse and I see this over and over and over and over. You propose a solution. You identify what you want the health policy staffer to do, and then you follow up. And that's very, very important, follow up. This is the same letter to the editor. The students write letters to the editor. And the outline is really the same for a briefing paper. They have examples from faculty, myself. I luckily, to date, every semester I've had a letter published either in the Washington Post or the New York Times or other papers throughout the country. So it's a wonderful learning opportunity for the students. But also they see the writings of guest lecturers. The students, and this is another special, unique part of Washington, D.C., and that's why I want to invite everyone to come for a one-week intensive, I have 5 minutes. This is Dr. Elizabeth Carnegie. Dr. Carnegie passed away in January at 91 years old, but in 1950, Dr. Carnegie integrated the American Nurses Association. She did this through the Florida State Nurses Association, so Dr. Carnegie was before Rosa Parks, and Dr. Carnegie, in evaluation of the session, the whole class, one of the students said, as an African-American woman from the South, I never met an African-American icon, let alone an African-American who's a nurse and a woman. And I quoted that to Dr. Carnegie a month before she died. As soon as she got that, she picked up the phone and she said, I can't tell you how meaningful that is to me. So in small little ways, all of us can make a difference in international icons. Bernice Ferguson, the former chief nurse for the Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as NIH, since we're running out of time, she stresses to the nurses that, and they listen when you have an international icon in nursing. Bernice is the second nurse to be inducted as a fellow in the Royal College of Nursing. The first was Virginia Henderson. But she stresses that only 4% of the healthcare dollar is spent in primary prevention. And that really helps reorient nurses to where their healthcare has to be. The students have opportunities in debate, attend local and national hearings, which you can only do in Washington. And they also analyze their own growth through weekly logs. And that's for adult learners. That's very, very important. They do it based on their readings, experiences in the course. And also they chronicle an expanding role for themselves in policy and politics. The Senate Labor Health Committee, Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. This is Dr. Ellen Marie Whalen. And at the end, standing up, is Dr. Susan Hinks. They're Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellows. This is the hearing room. The course is based on the framework, actually, I developed in my dissertation of professional behaviors. So you look at the characteristics of the professional person, which is really know thyself, nature of society, which is really cultural diversity, health disparities, and health, public health beyond, without borders, scholarship knowledge, evidence-based practice, and professional organization, which is really accountability for your practice, peer review, but also responsibility to society, to the client, to improve healthcare. This is key. I start out with slide with the students. I define policy as simply a course of action. It's simply a course of action. It's based on the politics. And all politics is a value system. So if your value is to improve healthcare, this is wonderfully freeing for the students. At the end of the course, they say, I always thought politics was a dirty word, but now I realize it's something that I have to be involved in. This is very, very rewarding and important. We'll skip over this. Yes, evaluations from the students. They say this is a transformative experience. Now I feel a responsibility and accountability to shape health policy in my practice settings, in my community. And some even say they want to run for office. Isn't that wonderful? So when I see those students, I always say, hello, Congresswoman, hello, Senator. This is outside our meeting with Representative Lois Capps, along with House Office Building. This is what I want to offer to you. This, more than anything, next week we have an opportunity to shape health policy. Whoever gets in, of course, we all have hope, we know who what we hope gets in. But the health, the presidential candidates, I haven't really heard any of them strongly suggest and strongly focus health promotion, health maintenance in the community. This is our time. This is now. If not now, when? This is when. This is now. We have to get a hold of these candidates and the winner next week to the healthcare primary focus. We must refocus the medical model to community public health-based education and practice. And the only one who's going to do it is us. The medicine's not going to do it. It's going to have to be public health nurses. And nurses in other disciplines, I don't think, are going to do it. It's our responsibility. This is the last slide, I promise. This student, Javon, he's from Kenya. He's practicing in Washington, D.C. to get his BSN. The day before class, he called his father in Kenya and he said, "Dad, can you believe I'm going to be having a class in the U.S. Capitol?" When his father sent him to get his Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, he never imagined that he'd have a class in the U.S. Capitol. Javon has since joined the American Public Health Association. When he graduates, he wants to go back to Kenya and get involved in public health policy in his country. This is a result of the course. This is Public Health Without Borders. This is my contact information. And I'm here to answer any of your questions and to help you. Thank you.
Thank you.